Well, you may have picked up on this, but there's a immigration bill making its way through the Senate. The House is working on one. There's all kinds of ideas on what this comprehensive package would look like, what it would do, what it wouldn't do, what impact it would have, what impact it wouldn't have. And it's big. It's very, very big. I mean, it's hard to grab a handle on it and understand how it could and will impact your life here in North Carolina. Well, there's a gentleman. He's the senior fellow of the Center on Global Prosperity at the Independent Institute, and he's a policy expert. He's also an author. Global Crossings, Immigration, Civilization, and America. Alvaro Vargas Yusuf is with us. And, sir, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
This book addresses immigration, and it will help, I think, a lot of folks who are worried about immigration. This book of yours gets into some of the myths and facts. Is that why you wrote it, to give the discussion maybe a better foundation from which we can have debate? I mean, what was the motivation behind it?
Well, yes. I mean, I started writing it right after the attempt at reform in 2007 failed, you remember, under President Bush. And so I thought at the time, well, it'll be another 20 years before anybody tries again. So let's write something that people can use as a thought-provoking opening for a wider debate about some of the issues that are involved. Suddenly, I find myself in the middle of a discussion that could end up with a new immigration reform and new law, and so this is great. What I do in the book is essentially give people information about everything from the economy to culture to all the other issues that are involved with the immigration discussion. And I also compare current immigration with immigration in the past, in other words, previous waves of immigrants in the United States, because I think that will help people put this whole thing into some kind of perspective.
Well, how do you do that? Because if I were to, you know, not being there in the past, I would say today's issue is different than past issues, just because of a variety of things, the illegal entry, we don't seem to have that melting pot mentality. But I would bet that you're saying no, it's really not very different.
Well, there are differences, but the essential things, I think, are not all that different. I mean, in terms of how long they take to assimilate, for instance, it's very interesting. It's pretty much the same pattern that we saw with Italians and the Irish and the Poles, etc. In terms of, you know, the second generation being financially much better off than the previous one, again, we're seeing the same pattern in terms of learning English, in terms of religion, you name it. Also in terms of the kinds of industries in which they mostly operate, previous waves also tended to do menial jobs to begin with, but they moved up the scale after a while. They had the same effect on the economy. In other words, they allowed the native population to move up the scale, and they had a sort of net effect of adding to the economy. And also, I think the question of legality and illegality, although it's in terms of numbers, of course, it's much more significant today, was also a debate that was taking place at the time, sort of early 20th century and late 19th century, and all sorts of restrictions were placed, for instance, on people from Asia at the end of the 19th century, and yet they found ways to circumvent them. Mm-hmm. And again, this created the issue of whether we would legalize people or simply kick people out, and, you know, the same kinds of issues. So that's why I thought it was important to, in order to put this into perspective, to make that, to draw that comparison.
So let me just, we don't have a lot of time left. I'm just curious as to what you think a comprehensive immigration reform plan would look like to you. I mean, I know the Heritage Foundation came out with their costs that you disagree with. You can get talk a little bit on that as well. But we also have like a lot of Americans who are unemployed and how that would impact them. When it's all said and done, what would be the fairest way to do this?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, I think there are basically two things we need to take care of. Obviously, one is the immediate problem of having 11+ million people in the shadows. That's an immediate problem that needs to be taken care of. But also the problem of the future. I mean, how do we, prevent another 11 million people from operating in the shadows, say, 10 years from now? That's what previous attempts at reform in the 80s and the 90s and so forth, even going back to the 60s, failed to do. They did take care of an immediate problem. They failed completely to anticipate what would happen next. So I would say basically we need to do two things. We need, of course, to find a path to citizenship, while taking care of the security issue, which is a very legitimate concern, obviously. But also, we need to find a flexible system that's not that does not impose very rigid quotas, so that in the future, if we have a booming economy again, and the demand for workers is higher than the kinds of quotas we used to have in the past, that would not create an incentive for people to operate outside of the law, which is what happened with reform, for instance, in the 1980s under Reagan. I think the bill that's currently being discussed in the Senate takes care of this only partially. They do include some quotas there that I think are a little unrealistic at this point. But anyway, that's what the kinds of things that I think we should be thinking about carefully to avoid another problem 10 years from now.
Yeah, and we have about a minute left. Do you think Americans trust the government to do that? Because you get it. You know you don't want to have to do this again in another 10 years. So security is important. And I don't know if the bill actually addresses that in the same strength that maybe the American people, based on the polls I've seen, would like it to. Is that something do you think will eventually be incorporated in this plan? Do you feel good about the plan? Will it pass? What do you think?
Well, if you look at the bill, I mean, it has four titles. They're called titles. Two of them deal with security, so almost half the bill is all about security, and the first title is all about border security. So clearly they're very conscious of the fact that people are expecting them to take care of this. Also, I think there's a reasonable chance that this will pass in the Senate. I am a little bit more skeptical about the House. They'll come up with a different version, and I'm sure reconciling the two will be very tough indeed. But I think that the interesting thing now is that within the ranks of the Republican Party, we're seeing a very lively debate, and I think there's a strong sort of trend, maybe not a majority yet, but a strong trend within the party that wants to take care of this and sees this issue as soluble. And if that happens, then I think we'll be able to build up a coalition that eventually gets this through.
Well, I hope we can have you back, because we didn't even really scratch what was in the book, and I'm looking forward to reading all of it. And where can people get the book?
Everywhere. It's in bookstores, on Amazon, and pretty much everywhere.
There you go. Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate your time and your perspective.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. Alvaro Vargas Llosa. He's the senior fellow at the Center on Global Prosperity at the Independent Institute, and there's a perspective on what's happening with immigration from his viewpoint. How about yours? 783. 783-